Dave and Darren's top five things. A review of what we got done on our morning show on Planet 93.9, the Quad Cities Real Alternative Radio. As ever, my name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Hey, Darren.
Hello.
Welcome to the top five things. It's made possible by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. They're experienced wellness consultants. They'll sit down with you and discuss the options that would work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are already answered, and you can check those out if you go to the website, ntillinois.com.
Here's number...
Number one.
You know, I'm a sucker for these stories where somebody is reunited with a ring from their distant past.
It's the sort of thing that you would like to be involved in someday.
Yes. Yes.
In your next act.
Yes, this is a
or a, not next act, listen, but an act.
Yeah, no, at some point, road. I would like to be known as Dave Lavora, hobbyist metal detector.
Uh-huh.
That's a goal of mine. I like to set goals. I like to write things down in my dream journal, in my wish board.
Not pet detective.
No. Dave Lavora, hobbyist metal detector. That's what I'd like to be. Somebody who walks around with a metal detector and finds lost items of interest and reunites the people.
For a small fee.
No, again, I don't know why you always make it about money. My hobby will be about the satisfaction of righting that which is wrong. I'm not going to charge money
for this. Weekends and overtime extra.
No. I'm not going to charge anything. And if they offer me a reward, I will refuse it. It's my hobby. My payment is the satisfaction of knowing you've been reunited with your class ring from 1987.
I will cover my shoes when I enter your home.
Maybe.
What are you doing in their house?
Maybe they want me over for a meal.
I suppose you could use the metal detector in the house. We think we lost it in the house.
Clint Hayworth posted about the find on Facebook, reaching out to the Daytona Dig and Find Metal Detection Club.
Oh, boy. Sign you up.
I want to do this so bad.
Yeah.
Do we have a metal detection club in the Quad Cities?
Reach out if you know of one.
Because if we do...
Start one.
I'm going to...
And there's also some improv involved.
Oh, well, that checks all the boxes for me.
What's the name of it again?
The Daytona Dig and Find Metal Detection Club.
And improv.
The improv you're adding. That's not a thing. He says here, at low tide around noon, we were digging holes on the beach, and I came across a strong signal on the soft red sand.
Wait a minute. They were doing what to the beach?
Digging holes.
You know what needs to be done.
He says, it rang up as a number 15 on my metal detector. Which is
what's that mean?
See, usually that's just a soda tab.
15 is?
Mm-hmm. I don't know this. I'm just quoting him. It says it rang up.
But this is the sort of thing you'll learn.
I know. It's got everything that I want. Learning a new skill.
Someday you'll know what that means.
Yes. Well, I kind of know now just from reading this story. It rang up as a number 15 on my metal detector, which is usually just a soda tab. We were going to pass it up, but then I decided, we don't like to leave trash on the beach. What he found was an Oviedo High School senior class ring inscribed with the initials D-E-B. The club members were able to narrow down the possible owners to one Donald Edward Brandel, who lost the ring 34 years ago during senior ditch day.
These kids never have their rings for more than a month.
Never.
If even that.
No. No class rings make it to college.
No, they shouldn't.
And as I say that, I'm playing with my wedding ring, and it just fell off my hand and almost went down the intake here. I almost needed to get the metal detector people involved. Brandel is excited to have his class ring back after 34 years. He says, it's amazing that that ring for 34 years stayed in that spot with all the hurricanes and surf that we've had. Brandel says he's grateful for the discovery and the effort that went into to find him. He says it's a glimpse back into those days of my lifestyle of surfing and being young and carefree.
Yeah, but you know what? If I find you guys digging holes in the beach again, we're going to close this beach.
Let me ask you this. Because it seems like we've had a lot of these stories where people are reunited with their class rings.
Uh-huh.
How long do you think they're able to hang on to the rings before they lose them again?
Not long.
Does it happen a lot where it's like, hey, you got me that ring. I know it was 2 weeks ago. I've lost it.
It was
again.
Gone for 34 years. And you lost it again? Yeah.
There's a story of an 11-year-old girl in England, Devon, England. She's 11. She found a gold wedding ring while swimming at the beach.
Let me ask you this.
And was able to track down the owner on Facebook.
This is my hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
That the reason that these class rings get lost so readily and so quickly, kids aren't used to wearing rings.
That's a big part of it.
Is this this could very well be the first ring you've ever worn. Well,
of course it is.
I don't know how to do this.
Somebody sent me a link here to the Illinois Iowa Treasure Hunters and Metal Detecting Group.
Nice.
Oh,
what's that cost? What's that cost?
I don't think it costs.
Or is it just a Facebook page?
I don't know. It's a Facebook page.
Well, there you go. Join it. Go ahead.
Oh my God. This is happening. They're a group out of Moline.
In Moline.
Oh, I'm so happy. Look at this. Somebody was on the Mississippi River. And they found this old coin.
They need help.
An old dime.
Probably a cult.
It's not a cult. You think everything's a cult.
I'm usually right.
Oh, I don't know, man.
There you go.
This is fantastic.
Now you got to join. Now you got to go get a metal detector.
Well, but
what do metal detectors cost?
Well, they're not cheap.
Maybe they've got a used one. Maybe they've got one that you can just train on.
These folks in the Quad Cities in Moline, they seem to find a lot of wheat
There's
pennies.
Probably an internship that you could be a part of.
You think I have to
weekends.
Learn from the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a certain amount of hazing that goes on. Indoctrination.
Oh my gosh. Here's one. Went on my first ever water hunt of the Mississippi River.
How many members?
And I dug out a silver ring that has True Love Waits on the band. Oh, man, that's incredible.
How many members?
This looks like there's 2,000 people in this
2,000?
Group.
2,000?
That can't be right.
My God.
It's just 2,700 people in this group.
Can you imagine of the outing, the picnic?
See, I don't have time for this as a hobby right now, though. That's the problem. When I go into this, I want to go into it where, that's my life. I just am an amateur metal detectorist. I don't know. I don't want to do this just on
weekends.
Science
detective.
Right?
Well, weekends is all you can... You have time for it now.
But even now, weekends are too busy. I don't have the time. I need...
Not if you make it a priority. If everything else... If you just put everything else on the back burner...
This is something that I will do if I... When I'm older. I'm not ready
for
this.
How much older do you need to get?
Well, old enough that I'm not working every day. This is a retirement thing. Okay. And frankly, that's never happening. Would you just let me have this?
Well, then join it. I am trying to let you have this.
No, but you want me to rush into it. And then I'll get discouraged and I'll quit.
Well, at least then you'll know that it was a pipe dream.
Yeah, it'll be and then I'll have to look at that metal detector every time I go in my garage. Another one of my idiot ideas.
You don't.
It'll just
you
mock
haven't even
me.
Bought one yet.
I know. I just know how
that's
it's
not a metal detector. That's a weed whipper.
I just know how it's gonna go.
Every time you see the weed whipper, you just think metal detector.
If that were a metal detector, I'd be in business. This 11-year-old girl was swimming at a beach, and she thought it was her dad's ring. And the dad says, well, then I look down and I check my wedding finger.
I don't wear rings.
And he says, I usually take mine off because the cold water can make your fingers shrink. I guess I never thought of that. That's why all these rings are falling off. Cold water makes your fingers shrink. They discover that this ring was engraved with James and Rebecca, October 3rd. Or no, it says James and Rebecca, October 25th, 2003.
Hmm.
So they posted a message on social media, and it turns out they found the owner. James Mizrahi has been looking for the ring since 2003. He lost it 2 days before while he was bodyboarding with his wife, Rebecca. So the ring was only in the ocean for 2 days when they found it.
Bodyboarding.
Well, one is just dumb luck. This is just a girl just finding it and floating around.
Yeah, she doesn't even belong to a club.
Well, it's still an interesting... That's almost more interesting than using a metal detector.
Yeah, she's doing it old school.
Right.
Freeform.
Right. She's finding that ring like she's a hobbit or something.
Like, yeah.
Wouldn't you assume if you just found a ring in the water that it would give you magic powers? That would be the first thing I would assume.
You'd wish upon it right away?
Oh, I for sure would.
What's the first thing you'd wish?
For 3 more wishes. I'm no dummy.
What if that negates any of your wishes?
Oh, then I wish for a metal detector and the time I'll need.
You don't want X-ray vision?
No, that would be a burden. I could never go to the movies again. I'd be looking behind the screen the whole time. That would drive me nuts. X-ray vision, I'd be looking at people's bones the whole time rather than seeing faces.
Hearts beating?
Yeah, no, that would drive me crazy. None of that.
You can see what they ate?
No, thanks. I can look at their stool before it exits their bowels.
Oh, my God, they're impacted.
Yeah, X-ray vision's the last thing I would want. I'll take the metal detector, please.
Oh, my God, look at all of that. Ugh, he's not long for this world.
Number two. Still jumping all over this, a new study says that a third of Americans haven't had a single day to relax in more than 3 months. So caught up in their jobs and life and kids that they haven't had a single day to relax alone in more than 3 months.
Mm.
Okay.
You don't want that.
Well, yeah, but relaxing alone, if you're somebody that has a family, why would you expect that would be something that you could do? You just have a day where nobody bothers you? Ever? I mean, it sounds great, but that's not. Is that realistic? A survey looked at Americans and how they like to exercise what they call self-care, taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
54% of us like to listen to music. 48% of us take bubble baths. Okay. And then 37% like to take naps. Put me down for everything except bubble baths. I'm gonna sit in my own funk. No thanks.
What percentage like bubble baths?
It says 48% of Americans take bubble baths.
48% of Americans can't get in a tub.
Before a long day, people like to make the most of the morning hours and set the mood by wearing comfortable clothing and playing music.
That's what I like to do. I like to get up early and relax before I come to work.
Nearly half of those surveyed say they feel the most relaxed, Darren, when they're in their bedroom. So
yes, that's called sleep.
Imagine if you were giving someone a tour of your home, and then you get to your bedroom and you go, and here's the bedroom. This is where I like to relax.
Makes sense.
Some Americans like to wind down by using body care products such as bath bombs or candles. 27% of people who buy these items don't use them until 2 weeks later.
This is where I like to relax. That's a bird bath.
I'm very busy. On average, people feel overwhelmingly busy or tired 3 days a week. And although people agree that self-care should be practiced 4 days a week, 2/3 of us just can't stick to that.
Self-care? Now, who was going to take care of you? Of course it's self-care.
Well, I think the larger argument that's being made here is you need to take some moments for yourself. Like, I get that. But this notion of putting a bath bomb in and just saying, Calgon, take me away, that's not happening.
people either physically can't get in a tub or they don't fit in a tub.
A third of Americans said that they would give up their social media to practice more self-care.
Then do it.
Yeah, that's easy enough to do. All the time that you're wasting on that, just, you know, relax with a bath bomb. And 24% of Americans say they would sacrifice their favorite food just to have a little bit more time to take care of themselves. If we had more time.
Okay, you're going to sacrifice. I'm not sacrificing. I'm only sacrificing one food. Only one. The rest of them, the rest of them I'm keeping.
I starved to death, but I took so many bubble baths. It was wonderful. If people had more time, they'd want to spend it listening to more music and taking more baths. Or it says here, 31% of people, if given more time, they'd like to use that time to take long drives. Just driving around for the sake of driving?
And then you can, so that gives you an excuse to complain about the price of gas?
Self-care does not have to be extravagant, though. It means different things for different people, like getting a haircut.
Or not getting a haircut.
Or incorporating a simple, healthy habit into your life, like meditation or using essential oils. I'm going to ask maybe the dumbest question I've ever asked you. Have you ever tried meditation?
What's that?
You ever tried to meditate?
Not really.
I think you'd benefit from it. But you'd have to get over the outrage that you would have at first. Like when you were starting it. You would be rolling your eyes so far back into your head, they might go all the way around and come back to where they belong.
Like a slot machine?
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get over how ridiculous it is, it could do you some good. Mm. But I don't think you could ever get to that point. Because when they start talking to you about, you know, focusing on your breath and all of that, I think you'd be like, all right, that's it, check. Get me out of here. Now I think about it, I should spend more time meditating. And in a bubble bath, for crying out loud.
I don't need to spend more time listening to music.
No, you do plenty of that. 3 in 4 Americans think every employer should offer mental health days. The average person has taken 3 mental health days off from their job in the last year. Now, hang on. You're saying that we haven't had a single day to ourselves in 3 months, but we're taking 3 mental health days a year. Maybe mental health day means something different, because my understanding of a mental health day, and I want to be very clear here, I think it's important to, when you're feeling overwhelmed, to take a break. I think that's the best, smartest thing you can do. But a mental health day isn't something that your employer offers, is it? A mental health day is just when you call in saying, I'm not coming in today.
I mean, someone might, they might offer something with the technical term personal day.
Yeah, but personal days tend to get used for...
if you have to go to the doctor.
Yeah. Personal days are never for fun. Personal days are, we've got to take mom to the home.
Right.
That's what a personal day is. Personal day is...
my car caught on fire.
We've got to clean out the storage unit. That's a personal day. Or we're closing on the house. There's nothing fun going on a personal day, is there?
I have to find a new car, because the other one's on fire.
Some Americans like to get experimental with our self-care routines. Nearly a third of respondents like to purchase body care tools, like a manicure pedicure set or massaging tools to try out.
You're going
to
give yourself a manicure or a pedicure? How is that relaxing?
Yeah, you're the one doing all the work. And massaging tools, I think I know what they're talking about there. I got it. 7 in 10 Americans said they would practice more self-care if they found interesting products to help them do so, and we're willing to spend money on it. On average, Americans willing to spend more than $200 a year on products that would help us feel our best.
That's why I can't relax. There are no interesting products available.
The best-loved products are candles and essential oils for self-care.
What about non-essential oils?
Now, where are those at? Non-essential oils. Just smells like waste.
I tend to think that all oils are not essential.
The most calming scents are lavender, vanilla, and rose. This is a, now it becomes a story where they want you to buy different scents to help you take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that this entire poll was conducted on behalf of something called Aroma Be Free, which I think they're in the business of selling essential oils to people.
Now it's time for you to make a purchase. Thank you, friend.
Get yourself a bath bomb and take care of yourself. The headline is shocking, though, that Americans haven't had a day to relax in more than 3 months, but they mean you take the entire day, you have nothing to do with anyone other than yourself, and you're just in a bathtub with candles lit up all around you. And I don't know who's got time to do that, and I don't know who should have time to do all that.
And how long do you really want to hang out in there? Not that long.
That's the thing about taking a bath is, yeah, it seems like a good idea. And then the water starts to change and you're like, all right, what am I doing here? What am I, Bugs Bunny? I'm going to cut up carrots in here? Making a stew? What is this, a crock pot? I got things to do. Laying there in a tub and just thinking about all the stuff you could be doing with that time that you're wasting.
Of now cold water.
Right.
Number three.
A couple of stories here of some people with cars that maybe shouldn't have them. We begin with a fire in a hotel parking lot. Two vehicles that caught on fire. A man performing burnouts in the hotel parking lot caused the fire. His car caught on fire, and then another car caught fire from his car doing the burnouts.
Brother can't drive.
The fire happened at 10:20 Saturday night. When the fire department arrived there at the hotel parking lot, they saw one car fully engulfed in flames. That vehicle was next to another vehicle that had also caught on fire. According to the driver, he was doing burnouts in the parking lot when the rear of the car started smoking and then burst into flames.
Burnouts or donuts?
He says burnouts.
Or doing burnouts on a dozen donuts.
He exited the car and ran toward the hotel lobby looking for a fire extinguisher, but he couldn't find one. And by the time the firefighters were able to combat the blaze, both cars were considered a total loss.
Oh, look what I've done.
This happened over by there in Madison, Wisconsin, by the way. So burnouts are different from donuts, right? Donuts you have to do when it's snowing or on a gravel parking lot. You can't do donuts in a hotel parking lot, could you?
I don't know. Is there enough room?
I don't think it's a matter of room. I think it's a matter of driving surface. Am I wrong? Burnouts are when you're just spinning your tires as fast as you can.
And he caught the car on fire, huh?
To the degree that he, yeah, lost his car. And then some other person who just made the mistake of parking at the Madison, Wisconsin hotel parking lot, their car is a total loss because some idiot was, again, his words, doing burnouts.
How old a guy does it say?
It does not say. I'm assuming this is a teenager, but I won't be shocked to find out that it isn't. Right? He's got to be, it doesn't say anything about him being arrested, but you need to be arrested because that's essentially arson that you've committed, right?
Well, you set someone's car on fire. I don't think you can do that.
Parking lot burnouts blamed for Madison vehicle fires. I don't have any information about this guy getting arrested. He sure as hell should have been, though, right? How?
My bad.
Look, I was doing burnouts, and it got away from me, man.
No harm, no foul is what I say.
No, but there is harm.
Huh?
Oh, it says here both vehicles were rentals.
Oh.
Okay, that explains it. It's a rental car. Well, yes, of course you should do burnouts if it's a rental car. I retract my earlier judgmental tone. This guy's a hero to me.
Did you get the insurance? What's that?
Huh?
You can get what?
Well, I feel better for the people that lost the other car that wasn't their fault because it wasn't their car.
As long as they got the insurance.
Yeah, here's hoping. And then your insurance would cover that. You don't need to get additional insurance for
wouldn't hurt
some idiot.
Wouldn't hurt.
Then there's the story of the guy who had a C8 Corvette Stingray. These are cars. I looked into it. These are you can get them like for $60,000.
Another rental
with nothing on them. No. This guy owned this car, a C8 Corvette. This looks like it's about a $100,000 vehicle. And he was going to sell the vehicle. In fact, had made arrangements to sell the vehicle the next day. And he decided to take the car out for one last hurrah. And I think you know where this is going. This happened in Greenville, North Carolina. Spencer Everett, the owner of the Corvette.
God, I should have sold that thing.
Traveling with the sports car when he decided to floor the mid-engine V8 sports car's throttle, lost control of the vehicle, rolling it into a ditch.
Hey, listen, I'm willing to take a little bit off that asking price.
It's on its side here in the ditch. That's not great.
Listen, I'm going to cut you a fair deal here.
I may have rolled it a couple of times.
It's yours.
2 o'clock in the afternoon when rescue crews were called to help this idiot out. Everett told police he was taking the car out on one last spirited drive before he intended to sell the vehicle to a new owner the next day. Heavy damage to the vehicle.
Mm. I think you can just buff that out, can't you?
The car went from zero to worthless in a split second.
I told you, as is.
He's been charged with reckless driving by the North Carolina Highway Patrol. It says here it's unclear how he lost control of the Corvette, but it seems likely he didn't have the traction control or any other electronic aids switched on.
Oh, no.
At the time of the accident.
You need traction control?
I guess.
Do I have that?
You're not driving around in a $90,000 Vet.
Yeah, but I'd like to know if I've got traction control.
Hmm. You don't.
Hmm.
You're not gonna.
I better watch my P's and Q's then.
Number four.
Pretty far along into the show without having a Florida story yet.
Florida.
This one's gonna leave a mark. Kite surfer is dead after getting slammed into a house.
Where was he surfing?
Not in
someone's pool?
He went to the beach in Fort Lauderdale last week. Fred Salter. Reports say he hadn't even gone into the water when the winds picked him up.
Oh, no.
Winds picked him up 400 feet in the air. And then flung him into the second story of a house.
Oh, no. So it grabbed him and threw him backwards?
Yep. He's described here as a...
Just got to get this kite up in the air here. Let me secure this here, and I'll just be on my way into the water. And whoa.
I like how they have to point out he hadn't even gotten into the water. Oh, rough.
Oh, man.
61-year-old Fred Salter, said to be a seasoned kite surfer, hadn't even gone in the water when winds picked him up 400 feet in the air and then flung him into the second story of a house. He was windsurfing on the beach when the wind picked him up and threw him against the building, and he went down hard. A witness on the 911 call saying here, he's unconscious on the floor, and he's bleeding. You can see the footage of the orange kite that he had all over the second floor of this home.
So the kite, after he hits the building,
stays up there, yeah.
Okay, it didn't help break his fall.
No, initially he survived the accident, was taken to a hospital, but died from his injuries 3 hours later. A friend of Fred says here, he loved what he did. I can't believe it, I'm just so sad for him. Kite surfers wear a body harness that attaches to a parachute. And if things go screwy, there's a safety release system so you can detach yourself from it.
Yeah, but you need to be up in the air a little bit. Sounds to me like this just grabbed you and threw you right into the house.
Well, other kite surfers are saying that he could have pulled the safety release system. Even though he wasn't in the water, he absolutely could have, you know, pulled the string as soon as
he noticed that he was getting grabbed.
Right. Like, here's the thing. Like, when you're 3 feet off the ground, you go ahead and you pull that. Not when you're 400 feet off the ground. Strong winds and a thunderstorm were rolling into the area around the time he went to the beach.
Perfect time to go kite surfing.
In fact, it wasn't. Broward County had issued a weather advisory. They say that when the units arrived, there were strong wind gusts in the area, that a storm had come through just prior to the 911 call. So was he thinking that maybe he was going to have like a really awesome time out there with the strong winds? I don't know. He was a father. He was a grandfather. He was a cancer survivor. Did not survive kite surfing last week. Fred Salter, dead at the age of 61.
But now he's dead.
Yeah. Rough stuff.
Slightly used kite now available.
I don't know. I think they should retire the kite, man.
Number five.
There's a couple in Chicago, Doug Simmons and Dedra McGee, who I guess is now Dedra Simmons because they got married.
Mm-hmm.
He's 44. She's 43. They got married, and they're in the news because they sent invoices to guests who RSVP'd that they would come to the wedding, but then didn't show up.
Mm.
So you get a bill from this couple for $240 because you didn't show up to their wedding.
Just to cover costs.
The invoice says no show, no call. And yeah, there's an invoice here.
You said you were coming.
This invoice is being sent to you because you confirmed seats at the wedding reception during final headcount. The above amount is the cost of your individual seats. Because you didn't call or give us proper notice that you wouldn't be in attendance,
mm-hmm.
This is the amount you owe us for paying for your seats in advance.
I kind of like this idea.
You can pay via Zelle or PayPal. Please reach out to us and let us know which method of payment works for you. Thank you. $240 to an invoice for people that didn't show up at their wedding.
So you could do this sort of thing if you had a scheduled meeting or something and then someone didn't show. And you would just bill them for your time, right?
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad.
We had a meeting. You didn't show up.
It seems
petty. And my time is not free.
I don't know, man. It seems kind of petty. People
need to learn their lesson. You're not just going to ignore me.
Someone says here, I wish I had thought of this. A third of the people who RSVP'd for our wedding didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
We paid for a lot of food that went to waste, although it was a lot less than $120 a plate. What? What are you doing?
I don't hate it.
You're not going to get a penny, and we're done. Apparently, this guy is a small business owner in Chicago. And he says, this isn't about the money. He and his new bride were hurt and felt disrespected by the no-shows at their hard-earned dream wedding.
And you're just going to stick your head in the sand and pretend like the wedding didn't happen? All you had to do was say, we can't make it.
That's what he says here. He says, no one told me or texted me, hey, we can't make it.
That's one thing.
That's all I was asking. If you tell me you can't make it, I would be understanding. But to tell me nothing... But then let me pay for you and your plus ones?
No, that's not going to fly.
Four people became eight people, and he says, quote, I took that personally. So what happens if you don't pay? Are you going to turn it over to collections? Because I wouldn't pay.
Well, frankly. No, when you get the invoice next month, it's going to be more.
There's late fees?
There are late fees, sure.
Additional charges.
Uh-huh. And you don't want to see the collection agency. Believe it.
Is it all over, Rock? I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
And that was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for downloading, subscribing, and leaving a review when you get a chance.
It was brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have two locations on Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. And they are both open 7 days a week. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and also Instagram.
Here we go. Thanks for listening. Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad City.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
That's how she wrote.